Let us pray. Father, we thank you because your mercies endureth forever. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word among your people in such a solemn environment as this. As we speak your word, O God, may the power of the Holy Spirit expand your word in a special way unto our hearts, so that we will not abuse the mercy you have given unto us. And may we reciprocate your love and grace upon our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. People of God, in such occasion as this, it's usually very difficult, the kind of sermon you will preach, that will minister to the hearts of the people, especially the bereaved. And of course, you know this is a special gathering at the burial of late barrister Onyeka Anyene, his wife, and his four children who died at the Dana Air crash, which took place on the 3rd of June 2012. We want to commiserate with the family. In such occasion as this, so many questions yearning and beckoning for an answer. Why at this time, at the age of 44 years, why should he perish with the entire family members, the wife and the four children? Why was his life cut so suddenly, in spite of his generosity and magnanimity? These and various questions are beckoning for answers. But the only thing we need to do and say here to everybody listening, beginning with the family members, is that God works in mysterious way his wonders to perform. As the hymn writer will say, we cannot judge God with the feeble mind of ours. And of course, God is his own interpreter. So I want to plead with you to take it as the will of God. Because in such occasion also, we'll be asking, is it God that did it? Is it Satan that did it? In all things, let us give glory to God, even though it is difficult. Onyeka, I can say in summary, came. Onyeka saw, and Onyeka conquered. That's the summary of what I can say about his life. At the age of 44, he has achieved what most of his age mates could not achieve. A celebrated lawyer, a wonderful husband of four beautiful children, a philanthropist, somebody who believes in taking care of the indigent, though silently and unannounced, without publicity. What else can we say? At this point, I will also dare to mention Onyeka had premonition of the way he will end. Let us take a brief history of his life. He was born 44 years ago, and his name given by his parents were Onyeka Chukwu. Who is greater than God? Chukwuma, the second name, that God knows everything. He's omniscient. God is omniscient. He knows everything. So he knew how Onyeka will end. But the most challenging thing I want to say before we mention the topic of this sermon, which I believe everybody needs to listen to because God is giving us something to think about, is the name or the names that Onyeka and the wife gave to their children. They are very significant for me. While you were going through the program or the brochure for the service, you look at the names, you see that this man was really prepared. He was preparing for his departure. Because that first child he got after marriage, the name he called him, he gave the name as Kamsiyochi, which means the way I asked God. Maybe he asked God to give him a male child at the onset. And God did it for him. And Onyeka called the child Kamsiyochi. Maybe God said, well, since you need a male child, let me give him to you first. He gave birth to twins, and he gave the two names. The first we called Kaine Tochi. Let us praise God in all situations, people of God. Even though what we are witnessing today is very pathetic, it is very, very traumatizing. It is very, very challenging. But Onyeka said, in the names of one of the twins, Kaine Tochi, he put it in continuous present tense. Let us continue to praise God no matter what happens. He gave the name of the other twin as Kaitue Guchi. Let us fear God. Look at such wonderful preparation. If God has allowed these things to happen, let us fear Him. Let us glorify Him in the midst of glorifying and praising Him. We must do that with awe, with fear, with reverence. And finally, people of God, so that we know that God can never make mistake. Onyeka is an educated man, a learned gentleman who has his family in America, so he could have called his children one beautiful name, either Reagan, Obama, Clinton. But look at the last name. Why on earth will a learned gentleman in this 21st century call the last child Noah? Whenever you mention Noah in the scripture, what does that tell us? The ark that collected the entire family of Noah and saved them from the flood disaster that ravaged the whole world. In other words, God knew, put it in the heart of Onyeka, that the ark that will carry you, your wife, your four children have finally arrived. And that is why Onyeka went to church that beautiful Sunday morning. Why didn't he take the first flight? He just waited because in his agenda, nothing stops him from attending church service. From church service to the airport, and from the airport to eternity. What a glorious exit here on earth from church. That is very important. And the second name of that last child is Kaime Obichi. Let us do the will of God. Let us give God praise. So I can say without shadow of doubt that Onyeka prepared for his death. God arranged it and gave him the ark. And the ark that carried Onyeka outside this generation, outside the flood of problems in Nigeria and the world, is the Dana aircraft. In other words, we should give God the praise. He has done what he wants to do, and he has taken his child home. Let us praise him, as he said. Let us give him glory. Let us fear him. And God will be pleased with that. That should give joy and confidence and consolation to the family members, to the friends, and to the well-wishers. And that takes us to the topic God said we should share. When I was praying about this gathering, I said, what kind of sermon will somebody preach in such a situation as this? And God gave us a topic, abuse of mercy. This moment, before we go ahead, let us read the scripture. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13, from verse 1. Luke chapter 13, from verse 1. And it says this, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffer such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We are going to take this anchor text, and I want to plead with you to listen to what God is saying. Abuse of mercy. The young man we have gathered to bury his family together with his life today did not die because others who flew some aircraft a few minutes before his own departed were more righteous. Everything is all about the mercy of God. But unfortunately, many of us who have received this mercy of God are very much at the point of abusing it very, very flagrantly. But we go on to say, what is mercy? We need to know, because when we talk about the mercy of God, we need to understand what is mercy. Mercy means, one, undeserved favor and privilege. Mercy, undeserved favor and privilege. That's the first meaning. The second meaning of mercy is uncommon blessings, successes, or achievements, not because of one's good works. Uncommon blessings, successes, or achievements, not because of one's good works. The third meaning of mercy is unmerited positive turn of events in the life of an individual or group of people, not linked to their good or bad works, family background, cleverness, or smartness. These are meanings of mercy. In other words, there are three words that can be used interchangeably to mean the same thing as mercy. And they are mercy, grace, and clemency. Mercy, grace, and clemency. So when you think of what you are, there are so many things you have passed through in life. You survived. But there are people who were even more righteous, people who were more God-fearing, people who were more meticulous and careful. They did not survive. There are some of us here who are rich financially. Not because you are so intelligent, not because you are so clever, not because you were born with silver spoon in your mouth, but because of what? The mercy of God. That is why the scripture said something in Romans chapter 9, and I want to read it to you as we continue. Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. Look at what it says there. He said, "For he said to Moses," that's God telling Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." 16 says, "So then, it is not of he who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who showeth mercy." It is not by your effort that you are what you are today. As a person who is beautiful, maybe the female folk, you're beautiful. It is not because you chose to be beautiful. That you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you're a professor, you're even a bishop as I am. I say it categorically that there are people who we are more qualified to be elected bishop in the Anglican Church more than I. But what brought me to this level is what I know is called mercy of God. Undeserved privilege. Undeserved favor. And that is why we really need to know, are there ways we are abusing this mercy of God? The political height you find yourself is just the mercy of God. Whether you are in that position by fair election or even rigging, it's not even the rigging that took you there. Because God can destroy you even at the night when they are trying to announce the result of what you rigged. Just the mercy of God. You are a woman, you got married. Maybe you are even wayward as a spinster. But when immediately you married, you have given birth to 1, 4, 5, 7 children, and somebody who weren't wayward have not gotten any. And what do you think now? mercy of God. Mercy of God. You are a student. You have graduated. There are people. I remember in one occasion, I was taking our final exam in our first degree, the final degree paper. One beautiful young girl from a very well-to-do family. As we were writing in the hall, after some time, this lady screamed and laughed and stood up. She started removing her clothes. She became mad. And that was the end of her degree result. That was the end of that academic pursuit. But for those of us who didn't get mad, who were not mentally derailed, who were not fixed up at that point, why did we graduate? Is it because of our goodness? Because of our righteousness? No way. Mercy of God. Undeserved privilege. But unfortunately, many of us at various points of our life have abused the mercy of God. Remember our topic, abuse of mercy. What is abuse? We have defined mercy because this sermon where we're talking about the death of a barrister at 44 with his wife, with his four children, it is something that needs somebody to think about. Am I abusing the mercy of God? Because that day I remember, I read in the newspaper of a young man who was doing everything to board that same aircraft. He disembarked from another aircraft. He came in from abroad. He wanted to pick that Dana aircraft to Lagos so that he can meet up with his appointment that evening. But as he went to the counter to pay, but the money he had not changed it to complete the amount that should have bought him ticket. They told him to go and buy ticket and come back. The man ran out. He bought the ticket after struggling and moved into the ticketing desk. They told him the aircraft had filled up. He was so angry. He was infuriated. He was complaining. But do you know it was that same aircraft that Onyeka boarded? Maybe somebody took the man's position also. Why did God allow this to happen? Mercy. It is even possible that God have looked at it and said, Onyeka and his family, they have prepared for eternity with Christ. Let me take them. This man, I need to give him another chance so that he can get prepared. He blocked him from boarding that aircraft. Mercy of God. So many things God have allowed you to achieve in life. How do you handle it? How do you handle your position? How do you handle the status God have given you? Are you abusing it or using it properly? Let us look at this word abuse. When we say abuse, what does it mean? To abuse means to misuse. Two, to take undue advantage of. Three, to betray. Four, to misrepresent. These are meanings of abuse. And of course, you know, abuse is just two words joined together. The full meaning of abuse is abnormal use. So, are you misusing that privileged position God has given you? Are you misusing or taking undue advantage of what God has made you to be? I think flying from Abuja to Lagos is about 45 minutes to 1 hour. But there are people seated in this congregation or listening to me this moment who have traveled in the air 18 hours, 13 hours, 8 hours, 6 hours, depending on your destination. And you have been going often and on, and God has been preserving you. Is that not a privilege? Are you taking undue advantage of it? Are you betraying the trust God has bestowed upon you by giving you that privilege? Are you misusing it to do whatever you like to do? And of course, you know, when you travel in the air, at times I listen to them announce, they tell you, you are now cruising at 45,000 feet above sea level. At that point, Federal Road Safety Commission has no business there. Anything that happens there, you are gone and gone forever. But the mercy of God has kept you. There are people who go to work from Abuja every day. They travel by air for 1 year, for 2 years, mercy of God. But the question is, are you using this mercy properly or are you abusing it? Are you misrepresenting it? In this sermon, we're going to look at some people who abused the mercy of God. And we need to conclude when the time comes to let you know that the greatest evil you will do, I will do here on earth, is to abuse the mercy of God. Wherever you are, whatever you are, you are, the Bible have made it clearly that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the mighty. Neither riches of men of great wisdom. He said, just God gives them to whom he wants. And that's why when King David, when they have given offering to God, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you read it very well, David is a wonderful man who understood the mercy of God. At the point, David was saying, oh God, all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Why have you given me this privilege? Who am I and my people to have offered unto you so willingly? He didn't see what he had as an opportunity to destroy others under him, as an opportunity to mess up other people. First of all, I want to show you some people, because most of the times we talk about the scripture, people will say every time Bible. Let me take you to secular history of people who abused the mercy of God. They didn't recognize what God did. Let me start from a story most of us know very well. You know about that great ship built and constructed by that wonderful ocean liner designer. His name is Thomas Andrews, a marine architect. He designed that great ship called the Titanic. The history of the Titanic was that it was the largest and the most sophisticated ocean liner ship at that time built by somebody. This man was given the privilege, the grace of God, to design such a wonderful ship. They told us that the Titanic is or was 882 and a half feet long. You can imagine that ship, 882 and a half feet long. And this man started building the Titanic from 1908 to 1909. They finished it and they told us that about 15,000 Irish shipyard workers built the Titanic. And each of these men were paid $10 every week. And they did that for 2 years. You can imagine the amount of money that was used to build the Titanic. The Titanic was so wonderful a ship that the man who built it, that is Thomas Andrews, was so arrogant. We are talking about abuse of mercy. He refused to recognize that his wisdom to design and build the Titanic was not his own. It was not because he was so wise and so wonderful and so committed to study, but the mercy of God. But what happened? After building the Titanic, on the 10th of April, 1912, the Titanic wanted to make its first voyage. It was leaving the island to New York. So when the Titanic was about to move, you know, a group of journalists, reporters, and broadcasters surrounded Thomas Andrews. He was full of himself. He looked at this Titanic, he nodded his head, and they asked him a question. Listen, abuse of mercy. They said, Andrews, what do you think and what have you to say about the Titanic? Listen to this man. Abuse of mercy. The first thing he said, which was not problematic anyway, was that the Titanic is unsinkable. Nothing is wrong. He saw it as a very solid, because the description was that it has 6 chambers, that even if 4 of its chambers were flooded, nothing could even sink it. It could still stay afloat. So Andrew said the Titanic was unsinkable. But listen to Andrew again. He went further now to say what showed that he abused the mercy of God. As the Titanic was about to take off, he told them that even God cannot sink the Titanic. What a confrontation. What an arrogance. And what a foolishness. Abuse of mercy. Who gave Thomas Andrews the knowledge to design such ocean liner? God himself. But look at him challenging God, like some of us out there. You have made money. You don't go to church again. In other words, you can survive without God. You can abuse anybody because you are rich. Abuse of mercy. You're a medical doctor now. Instead of glorifying God, you are committing abortion. You destroy children in the name of abortion. God is watching. How did the Titanic end? Because if you abuse the mercy of God and God wants to retrieve that mercy by force, there is nothing you can do. The Titanic left on the 10th of April, 1912, moving to New York. But exactly by 11:40 p.m., on 14th of April, 1912, the Titanic struck an iceberg off the southern Newfoundland, and the Titanic broke into two. Nobody saw the Titanic. Listen very well. When you challenge God, why, whatever position and knowledge and opportunity and privilege has given to you, be ready for destruction. Be ready for the worst to happen. The Titanic that Thomas Andrews said, it is unsinkable. God cannot even sink the Titanic. Was the Titanic that broke into pieces and nobody could find the Titanic. For so many years, listen, this ship sank on the 14th of April, 1912. It was on the September of 1985. That Dr. Hallard, Robert Hallard, was able to see the Titanic at the bank of the river, right down. And he measured the length, the height. He said that the Titanic was under the sea 12,460 feet at the bottom of the ocean. Remember, to Thomas Andrews, the Titanic was unsinkable. But the creator of the whole world had to sink the Titanic and make it never to rise again. And that arrogance made 706 people to survive the Titanic. But 1,516 died. And that was the end of the Titanic. When Robert found the Titanic in 1985, what did he write and paste at the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean? He said, please, let no man trouble the Titanic and let the Titanic rest in peace. That's how the Titanic ended. Abuse of mercy. Maybe you have said worse things like that. Who is God? What am I doing with God? I want to tell you, the place we read in Luke chapter 13, a group of people were telling Jesus about people whom Pilate mingled their blood in his sacrifice. They saw it. Oh, these people must have been suffering, and Pilate must have executed them because of their sins, because of their wickedness. Jesus said, do you think they were more worse sinners than you? Say, no. Except you repent, such thing will also happen to you. That's what he's saying. Are you abusing the mercy of God? Young girl, look at you. Very beautiful, very promising, very intelligent, highly shaped well. But look at what you are doing with your body. Is that not abuse of mercy of God for making you beautiful? Young man, God has given you strength and vigor. But look at what you are doing. Shooting gun, killing people, maiming people, because you belong to one cult group or one politician is sponsoring you or one thing or the other. You are into armed robbery, causing havoc and disaster, abuse of mercy. I want to take you to another man. This man was a presidential candidate, 1985, in Brazil. These are histories you can verify. People who have abused the mercy of God, and they saw the consequences, and the consequences were monumental. You can escape such consequences today if you can heed the voice of Jesus. Except you repent, except you retrace your step, except you say, I cannot go this way again. This man was a presidential candidate in the presidential election of Brazil in 1985. His name is Tancredo Neves. He was a popular candidate, but hear him out. Abuse of mercy. In the last day, Tancredo was out for his presidential campaign. During that campaign, listen to what Tancredo Neves said. He said, he was addressing his party members and loyalists in a very big field. He said, if I get 500,000 votes from you, my party members and supporters, not even God will remove me from being the president of Brazil. Do you hear that statement? He was in a campaign rally. I said, what I need from you, my supporters and party members, is 500,000 votes. Not even God. Abuse of mercy. Abuse of God. God is watching a lot of people when they behave, when they act, when they sleep and wake up, the way they abuse that mercy. Have you watched somebody sleeping? You see how fragile life can be. But God, in his infinite, unquantifiable mercy, have preserved you. And what are you doing with that life that you have been preserved? What are you doing with that opportunity? You are a political office holder. What are you doing with it? Amassing wealth, accumulating wealth, stocking money for the unborn generation, whereas the masses that voted you are languishing in abject poverty. When Tancredo Neves said it, people held him. And of course, what happened? On the following day, the election was held. For sure, Tancredo Neves got the 500,000 votes. Remember his statement. My party men, give me 500,000 votes. Not even God can stop me from getting into the presidential house. He got the vote, and what followed? Story and history have it that on the night preceding the day of his swearing in, Tancredo became mysteriously sick. And what happened? By 6 a.m. of the day he would be sworn in, he died. And he did not smell that presidential house. What are you talking about? The Almighty God. Who can challenge this God? There is one hymn writer who understands what we are talking about. He said, when all thy mercies, O Lord, my rising soul surveys. He said, transported with the view and lost in wonder and love and praise. I'm lost in wonder, in love and praise. Transported with the view of your mercy. The mercy of God is what has sustained you, not your own strength. I want to take you to another group of young people. In the same Brazil, in a place called Campinas in Brazil, in 2005, it is good that we use contemporary stories to let you know that it is time to stop abusing the mercy of God. You can retrace your step as you hear my voice. Barristo Nyekanene, who died with his entire family, 44 years. The wife wasn't up to 40. And four children perished in a twinkle of an eye, full of life and vigor. They had anything life could offer. But because God has decided to take them and have spared you listening to me, you think that you have the whole world to mess around, to neglect God forever, to live the way you are living. mercy of God is keeping you. In Campinas, Brazil, 2005, a group of young people who were very, very friendly, but very, very radical. They were drunk, and they now drove to a house to pick one of their friends. Listen to this story. Because people don't know God is only looking at you, say, I give you another opportunity. Abuse of mercy. Do you think that these people suffering these things, you are better than they say? No. The only condition, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. This group of boys drove to that house and they collected their friend. And their friend joined them in their car. When the mother of that young lady saw that her friends had become drunk, the mother accompanied her daughter to the car. And because of the level of drunkenness of these young boys, the mother was worried about those boys and their lifestyle. She said to her daughter, holding her hand preciously, like a mother cuddling her, the daughter was already seated in the car. The mother held her hand and whispered to her ears, said, my daughter, go with God and may he protect you. Go with God and may he protect you. Listen and listen to the voice and the response of the daughter. The daughter of the woman responded and said, Mom, only if God will sit in the trunk of the car. Trunk is what we traditionally call boot in Nigeria. The young girl said, well, only if God will sit in the trunk of the car, because you can see there is no place for God inside this car. Can you see how people can be nasty? Abuse of mercy. The story went and said, hours later, news came that those boys and that girl were involved in a fatal road accident, and everybody in that car was crushed to death. The car could not be recognized what type of car it was. But listen, surprisingly, don't joke with God. Don't continue to abuse him. Don't neglect the grace of God, the clemency of God, and the mercy of God upon your life. For sparing you, he has a purpose. Surprisingly, when the police arrived at the scene of the accident, the trunk of that car was intact. Remember what the girl told God? No chance for you inside. Go to the trunk. And the police, this is a verifiable issue. The police saw that the trunk of the car was intact and said there was no way that the trunk of this car would have remained intact. Something mysterious has happened. To their own chagrin and surprise, look at what happened. To their greatest shock and bewilderment, inside the trunk of that car was a crate of fresh eggs. And they reported that none of these eggs was broken. None of these eggs was broken. A young girl full of life. The mother said, travel with God and may he protect you. She said, oh, let's God, we go to the trunk, to the boot. We don't have chance for God. Some of us listening don't have chance for God. You have all that life provides, good house, fat, foreign and local bank accounts. So what am I doing with God? Talk to him about God. He said, shit, man. You are talking nonsense. These things are for riffraff, for non-entities, for nobodies. But this day I want to challenge you. Not only secular men, there are men in the scripture who have abused the mercy of God, like so many of us. So many men. I will just pick one man. He wasn't given a specific name. The Bible only called him the rich man. But he had the mercy to be rich. And he had a man to take care of called Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, 19 to 24. That's how we are going to conclude. Remember our topic, abuse of mercy. The way you are living your life, are you not abusing the mercy of God? You were sick. Some other person died of that disease. God spared your life. What are you doing with that life today? politically. You have achieved it. You are a senator. You are a member of the House of Reps. You are a governor. You are a commissioner. You are a permanent secretary. You are a vice chancellor. You are whatever you are. That is the mercy of God. This rich man in the Bible, he had one assignment: to take care of the poor, wretched, hopeless Lazarus. But he could not take care of that man. He abused the mercy of God. Lazarus pleaded with him to even eat the crumbs that fell from his table. The rich man rejected it, refused it, and Lazarus died. Let me tell you, any purpose for which God created you, if you allow that purpose to waste away, be ready to be taken away by God. Lazarus was the reason for the existence of that rich man. And once you read the Bible, it says, one day, Lazarus died. The next thing you read, the rich man also died. Because he abused the mercy of God. Brothers and sisters, we are about to pray. What do you think about your life? I want to introduce you to that giver of mercy, the sustainer of mercy, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The only man that can give you hope and the ability not to abuse the mercy of God. If not, as the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Who are you to meet this God? The all-knowing God, the almighty God. The Bible says when he speaks, his voice is like the thunderings of many oceans. When he opens the eyes to look at you, the scripture said sword and fire come out. This God is the same person. If you read Revelation chapter 20, it says, when he sits on the throne to judge the whole world, the whole earth fled away. Nobody could stand his awe, his greatness, his sovereignty and supremacy. But today we call him Jesus, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God asking you, I stand at the door of your heart to knock. If only you can hear my voice and open and stop abusing the mercy of God, I will save you. If not, I will come with great wrath and indignation, and I will punish and judge every man according to his work. Today is an opportunity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you have life in you? Why are you living as everything ends here? Why do you think that you are going to remain here forever? God is coming to judge the world. We are about to pray now. Can you make up your mind and say, I will no longer abuse the mercy of God. All things come from God, and of him I will be, and unto him I will render services. Can you change today? Can you stop living as if there is no God? Can you stop living to show that you did not achieve that thing by your strength? Jesus is saying, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you allow me, I will come in and make you relevant to God. Some of us are irrelevant to God. Some of us, very irrelevant to God. Yet God positioned you there to be relevant to him and to humanity. Today is an opportunity. Jesus is asking you, will you confess your abuses? Will you confess your insult on me? Will you confess your neglect of my calling to you? For how many years now? Some of us listening, you are 25, you are 40, you are 60, you are above 60. And God has been standing at the door of your heart to knock. You refuse him entrance. Remember, a day is coming. But as we conclude in this burial service and sermon of Barrister Onyeka Anene, his wife and his four children, can you say, God, I am not better than Onyeka. Why did you not kill me? He spared you so that he will not destroy you. Why not say, Jesus, I surrender to you? Let us bow our heads as we pray to God this moment. Can you think? Can you reflect? All that you are, they are from God. It's not of he that willeth, neither he that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Confess your misgivings and misdoings. Invite Jesus into your life and ask him to give you the privilege again not to abuse his mercy. Thank you, Father. I pray for these ones that are taking decisions after hearing this sermon and this message, not to continue to abuse the mercy you have given to them. As they confess these misgivings and lives that irritate you, by the blood of Jesus, which was shed on the cross of Calvary, Lord, forgive them. Give them another opportunity. Restore them and make them children of God. Father, break this yoke of satanic arrogance, indifference to the callings of the voice of God, and make all of us instruments of your righteousness. In any way any of us listening have been abusing the privilege and mercy and favor you've given to us, as we repent today, may we recognize at all times that whatever we are here on earth, they are as a result of mercy, grace, and clemency. Thank you, gracious Father, for this opportunity to retrace ourselves and to retrace our steps also to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.